Free Presbyterian Church of Ulster, we present Let the Bible Speak. It's good to have you join us today as we spend time around the Word of God, preaching Christ in all His fullness to men and women in all their need.
Welcome to our service today. I trust that as we worship the Lord together, the Lord will draw near to our hearts, and this will be a time of blessing. Let's seek the Lord in prayer and ask for His help and for His blessing. Our loving God and our Father in heaven, we draw nigh unto Thee today. We thank You for the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank You for the one who is our Savior, the one who brings us nigh unto God. We thank You for the one who went to the cross and shed His blood, His precious blood, that our sins might be forgiven. And we pray, O God, that even as we would worship Thee today, that we would know a conscious sense of Thy presence. It is Thy presence that maketh the feast. And we desire, O Lord, to be conscious of Thy nearness. We desire to hear Thy speaking word. Speak to every heart. Speak to every individual. Thou art the one who knows every heart. And Lord, there's nothing hid from Thee, the all-knowing God. And we pray, O God, Thou wouldst come and Thou wouldst not only speak to every heart, but Thou would meet each one at the very point of your need. And so we pray for Your help. We pray for Your grace and for Your blessing. These things we ask in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. I'm going to turn in God's word to Psalm 145. Psalm 145 for scripture reading. We want to read this psalm together, commencing to read at verse 1. I will extol thee, my God, O King, and I will bless thy name forever and ever. Every day will I bless thee, and I will praise thy name forever and ever. Great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised, and his greatness is unsearchable. One generation shall praise thy works to another, and shall declare thy mighty acts. I will speak of the glorious honour of thy majesty, and of thy wondrous works. And men shall speak of the might of thy terrible acts, and I will declare thy greatness. They shall abundantly utter the memory of thy great goodness, and shall sing of thy righteousness. The Lord is gracious, and full of compassion, slow to anger and of great mercy. The Lord is good to all, and his tender mercies are over all his works. All thy works shall praise thee, O Lord, and thy saints shall bless thee. They shall speak of the glory of thy kingdom, and talk of thy power, to make known to the sons of men his mighty acts, and the glorious majesty of his kingdom. Thy kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and thy dominion endureth throughout all generations. The Lord upholdeth all that fall, and raiseth up all those that be bowed down. The eyes of all wait upon thee, and thou givest them their meat in due season. Thou openest thine hand, and satisfiest the desire of every living thing. The Lord is righteous in all his ways, and holy in all his works. The Lord is nigh unto all them that call upon him, to all that call upon him in truth. He will fulfill the desire of them that fear him. He also will hear their cry and will save them. The Lord preserveth all them that love him, but all the wicked will he destroy. My mouth shall speak the praise of the Lord, and let all flesh bless his holy name forever and ever. Amen. May God bless the reading of his truth to our hearts. We're now going to worship the Lord in the singing of the hymn, Jesus, the Name High Over All. God's word, the Bible, we learn many wonderful things about God's nature and character. The Bible reveals to us God is all-powerful. The Lord is often referred to in his word as the Almighty. And we are told in Luke 1:37, "For with God nothing shall be impossible." The Bible then teaches us God's power is infinite. He is the all-powerful one. Another marvelous truth we learn about God and his word is that he is all-knowing. This is what we read in Psalm 139. O Lord, thou hast searched me and known me. Thou knowest my down sitting and mine uprising. Thou understandest my thoughts afar off. These words reveal God's all-compassing knowledge. He even knows the secret thoughts of men. There's simply nothing that God does not know. And so the word of God reveals to us God is all-powerful and he is all-knowing. course, there are many other wonderful things that we learn about God in His Word. Indeed, the study of God is an inexhaustible one. Man trying to comprehend God and His glories is like trying to contain the vast oceans on a teaspoon. We simply cannot comprehend the greatness and the glory of the Lord. However, as we come to God's Word today, I want us to consider a most splendid, yet most solemn truth revealed about God and His Word. And this is the great truth that the Lord is righteous. The great truth that the Lord is righteous. Notice again with me the words of verse 17 here in Psalm 145. The Lord is righteous in all His ways and holy in all His works. This verse of Scripture clearly sets before us the truth, the Lord is righteous. Now this is one of the most tremendous truths that we learn about God in His Word. That He is righteous and holy. And yet, this is one of the most terrifying truths we discover about God in His Word. That He is righteous and holy. It is important to note that each time men became aware of God's holiness in the Bible, each time something of God's peerless righteousness was revealed to a person or a group of people, then they were filled with the greatest fear and terror. We could think of that scene at the bottom of Mount Sinai as God gave His law, gave the Holy Commandments, the Ten Commandments, to the people of Israel. As God gave His law to the people of Israel, which reflected His own holiness, which reflected His righteousness, the people of Israel responded by saying to Moses, "Don't let God speak with us, lest we die. Let God speak to you, and you can speak to us. But don't let God speak to us." You see, they realized God was holy. And they felt their own great unholiness. They felt their own wickedness and sin in the light of God's glorious holiness. We could also think of that time when the Apostle John was in exile on the Isle of Patmos. And he had that marvelous revelation of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ appeared to John. And he appeared to him in the most glorious manner. But what was John's reaction to this? What was John's response to this glorious revelation of Jesus Christ? Revelation 1 and 17 tells us, "And when I saw him," that is when John saw Christ, "I fell at his feet as dead." And so again, here we have God's servant. And he's given this marvelous revelation of God's righteousness, God's glorious holiness. And he feels his own undoneness. You should also note at the very end of time, when Christ returns in glory, you're told in Revelation 6 that men will cry to the mountains and rocks, "Fall on us and hide us from the face of him that sitteth on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb." And Christ finally appears in this world at the end of time. How will men respond to the glorious sight of the all-holy and glorious one appearing? They shall even cry to the rocks and mountains, "Fall on us and hide us from this one." The solemn truth is, there is nothing that is able to make a man serious and sensible about spiritual things like a right understanding that God is righteous. The reason why many live empty and foolish lives and die unconcerned is because they fail to grasp this truth. The Lord is righteous. I trust then, as we examine God's Word today, our hearts will be moved by the solemn reality that the Lord is righteous. There are then three things I want us to consider as we think about this verse of Scripture in Psalm 145. Firstly, I want us to note here that the Lord is righteous in His standard. He is righteous in His standard. Read here in Psalm 145, verse 17, "The Lord is righteous in all His ways." Now, it is important we understand what the word righteous actually means. What this verse tells us about the Lord is that the Lord is just and that the Lord is lawful in all that He does. Because the word righteous means just or lawful. And so the thought is, God only ever acts in a just or in a lawful way. All that He does is righteous. God never behaves in an unrighteous or in an unjust manner. And this is something which is emphasized time and time again in God's Word. In Psalm 92 in the verse 15, we are told, "There is no unrighteousness in Him." This is what we read in 1 John 1 and 5. God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. And the thought there is no impurity in the Lord. He is all light. There is no darkness, and there's no shades of darkness in him. He is all purity, and he is all light. Hebrews 4 and 15, speaking of Jesus Christ, says he is without sin. And 1 Samuel 2 and 2 tells us, there is none holy as the Lord. Therefore, as we read here, the Lord is righteous in all his ways. We've been told of God's perfect, unblemished, and sinless character. And that's what we're being told. Of God's perfect, unblemished, and sinless character. All that God is and all that God does is characterized by perfect holiness and righteousness. He is holy in his being. He is holy in his wisdom. He is holy in his power. He is holy in his justice. He is holy in his goodness. And he is holy in his truth. In short, the Lord is righteous in all his ways. Now, this is something which we all would do well to take note of. You see, because the Lord is righteous in all his ways, because he is the infinitely holy one, he cannot lie. Therefore, what he says in his word is the truth. It is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. Think of some of the things which God has said in his word. For example, he tells us of the sinful state in which all men and all women are found. And this is one of the things that God reveals in his word. Our own sinful state, man's sinful state. This is what we read in Isaiah 64 in the verse 6. But we are all as an unclean thing, and all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. Here we have the righteous God of heaven, the one who cannot lie, revealing to us our true state. He says we are filthy. We are unclean. We are unacceptable to him. And this is the most solemn and shocking revelation. The righteous God reveals to men and women they are unrighteous, they are unclean, yea, they are unacceptable to him. And this is what God is saying in his word as he reveals to us our sin and our uncleanness. He's saying, you're not acceptable to me. I am holy. I have got a holy standard. And therefore, because of my holy standard, you and your sin, you as a sinner, you're not acceptable to me. This is why God drove our first parents out of the Garden of Eden. Remember what God did in the lives of Adam and Eve? When they sinned, when they rebelled against God, it tells us God drove them out. Why? Because in their sin, they were not acceptable to God because he is holy. The Lord is holy. He is pure. And so as you think of the Lord as being the righteous one, you must think of his holy standard. And because of his holy standard, he cannot accept sinners. But then as well as the Lord being righteous in his standard, we also see here in this verse the Lord is righteous in his salvation. In his salvation. This is also something which is brought before us in verse 17 here in Psalm 145. Notice again what it says here in these words. The Lord is righteous in all his ways and holy in all his works. With the words at the end of this verse, the Lord is holy in all his works. Now when we think of the works of the Lord, we might immediately think of God's great work of creation, whereby he in the space of 6 days made all things out of nothing and all very good. We can say God's work of creation was a holy work, for he made a perfect world, and he made man the very apex of his creation, holy and righteous and good. And so everything about God's creation in the very beginning of time was righteous and holy. However, when we think of the works of the Lord, we must consider God's greatest work. God's greatest work was not the creating of all things out of nothing. But God's greatest and most glorious work was God providing a full salvation for sinful men and women. The work of salvation involved the Lord Jesus, the eternal Son of God, coming into this world and living a sinless and perfect life, and then going to the cross and suffering and dying. This is the work which Christ engaged in to save men and women from their sin and from the consequences of their sin. He came into this world and he lived amongst men a perfect life of obedience. And then he took that perfect life of obedience and he offered himself upon the cross as a payment for the sins of his people. Perhaps you're thinking, why did Jesus Christ have to suffer and die in such a terrible way? Why did he have to die upon the cross so men and women could be saved from their sin? Could God not just have forgiven people their sin and just forgot about their sin? There are many people who think this. Well, God is the Almighty One. You've said this already. He's all-powerful. And being the all-powerful One, could he not just have forgiven people their sin and forgot about it? This could never happen. And it could never have happened because the Lord is righteous. That's why it could never have happened. Because the Lord is righteous. If such a thing was to take place in society, there would be an outrage. Imagine if a judge said to someone who had committed a terrible crime, I know you're sorry for your actions, and I can see that you don't want to be punished, so therefore I'm not going to punish you. I'm going to let you go free. Because you really don't want to be punished, and I can see you're sorry for what you've done. If a judge said that, there would be an outcry in society. And people would be saying, this is unjust, this isn't fair. Well, God is not less righteous or just than man. Therefore, he requires a just punishment for sin. That's what God requires in his righteousness and in his holiness, a just punishment for sin. And the just punishment for sin is eternal death and that dreadful place the Bible calls hell. This is the just, this is the fair punishment for sin. Death, eternal death and hell. However, when the Lord Jesus Christ went to the cross and suffered and died in the sinner's place, he was taking the sinner's punishment upon himself. He was bearing our hell. He was bearing our condemnation. The wrath of God that was our due upon God's holy Lamb was laid. And by the shedding of his blood, our sinful debt was paid. Isaiah 53 verse 5 says, but he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. And with his stripes we are healed. God, in providing salvation for sinners, provided it in a righteous way. Not in an unrighteous way. Not in an unfair way. But in a righteous way. Jesus Christ satisfied the demands of justice by taking our sins upon himself and suffering the full punishment of them. Therefore, if you come to Christ by faith and cry out to him for salvation, your sins will all be forgiven. Not because God will just sweep them under the carpet and forget about it, but they will all be forgiven because Christ, in his death upon the cross, has suffered the great punishment for sin. And this is why salvation is found in Jesus Christ and in him alone, because he, in righteousness, has dealt with our sin. Only he has dealt with the problem of sin. Therefore, salvation can only be found in him. And so we see here the Lord is righteous in his salvation. He is righteous in his standard. One last thing I want us to note, and that is the Lord is righteous in his sentence. This is drawn to our attention in verse 20 here in this psalm. It says, the Lord preserveth all them that love him, but all the wicked will he destroy. This verse of Scripture very clearly reveals to us the Lord will be the one who will ultimately judge all men and all women at the end of time. And he will judge each one in righteousness. Those that love him, and the person who loves the Lord is the person who's repented of their sin and cried out to Christ for salvation. This is the person who loves the Lord. The person who has turned from their wicked ways, acknowledging their need of a Savior, and by faith has embraced Jesus Christ as their Savior. We are told here they will be preserved or saved. That is, God will accept them into heaven. There will be a home for them in heaven. And they will dwell with Christ for all eternity. Not because they've earned heaven for themselves, but because Christ has earned it for them. He has paid the debt of their sin. And because the debt of their sin has been paid at the cross, it is only right. It is the righteous thing that they receive heaven, because that's what Christ, their Savior, has earned for them. But then we also read here in this verse about the wicked. person who continues on in their sin and rejects God's salvation will be destroyed. That is speaking of how they will be cast into hell. That place of outer darkness. That place of weeping and gnashing of teeth. And going there, being sentenced to that place, will be fair. Because this is what their sin deserves. And they have rejected the Savior, the only one who can deliver them and save them. On the final day, when all men and all women will stand before God, we all will know beyond any shadow of doubt that the Lord is righteous. For he will judge this world on that day in righteousness. Therefore, make sure that you do the right thing and that you seek Christ, the righteous one, as your Savior. You cannot be righteous in God's sight through your own efforts or through your own works or through your own ability. You cannot earn righteousness through your own life, but you can be righteous through Jesus Christ, the perfectly righteous one. If you come to him by faith, he will impute to you, he will credit to you his glorious, perfect righteousness. It will be yours. And on that great day when you stand before God, God will view you as he does his own dear son, as righteous and holy. I trust that you will come to the Lord this day, the righteous one, and seek him for salvation. Let's just close in a word of prayer. Our Father in heaven, we thank you for your word. We thank you that Jesus Christ is our righteousness, and he is the one that has provided righteousness for unrighteous sinners. And we pray, O God, that none would turn from him, none would reject him. But Lord, they would come by faith and repentance and take Jesus Christ as their Savior. Write your truth upon our hearts. Draw men and women unto thyself, and speak on when man's voice is silent. These things we ask in Jesus' name. Amen and amen.
Thank you for spending some time with us today around the Word of God. For further information, visit our website at ltbs.tv. We look forward to joining with you next time as we seek to let the Bible speak once again.